Command Mobile.
7 Japan, this is KF4SSG. How you doing today?
Well, I can't really quite make you out because the machine is all scratchy, so I didn't understand what you said.
DJW.
DJW, KN4TFW, how you doing today?
KN4TFW, W4DJW. Doing good. Is it that late in the day already? 3:26. What's going on here? Now, don't you work later in the day than that?
Yeah, you know me too well. Yeah, I got off a little bit early, about an hour early. My wife happens to be off today, so we were going to spend a little bit of time together.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Everybody's got to take a day off earlier or leave work a little bit early every now and then. So, are you having a lot of success with HF now?
Yeah, I'm pretty well pleased. Antenna isn't exactly like I'd like it to be, but, I mean, my furthest contact is 5,094 miles. I've made some contacts on 17. Made a contact on 60. Checked into some nets and caught a bunch of parks and that, so I've been doing pretty good.
17 and 60 is not bad. 17 can be kind of difficult. Now, 60, it's been a long time since I've been on 60. That's kind of limited, but that's cool. Did you go with the W5GI mystery antenna, or did you go with something different?
Antenna, and I mean, I like it, but when I put it on the meter, the SWR isn't as low as I'd like it to be, so I gotta do a couple of things to it. Maybe put a 4-to-1 balun on the bottom of it or something. Some of the bands just aren't right, but the tuner's tuning it, and I'm getting out, so I mean, I can't really complain.
That's true. Where was that 5,000 mile station?
Yeah, I was over to Italy. I've made it to 10 countries so far, and I figured out that if I get home early enough and get on 20 or 17, I can make a long distance contact before they get into the big pile up on 40 in the evening.
I haven't done 40 in the evening on the phone side of the band, and I'm thinking you're talking all about phone side of the band. I haven't done 40 on the phone side, the upper half of 40, in quite a while. They still have, well, at one point in time, they had foreign broadcast stations all up and down 40 on the phone side of the band. I think they did something to clear that up. Is that an issue anymore?
That are in there, but they're usually gone by about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And they hog up like, I think it's like 7220 somewhere in there, and maybe 7250 or 70 somewhere around in there. They're there for a little while, but then they're gone.
Well, that's good. I'm just drinking my after lunch coffee. It's 12:30 my time, 3:30 your time. I just finished lunch, and I'm getting my coffee before my next meeting that starts in about 20 minutes. And I figured while I'm waiting, nobody's pestering me at work, I'd see if anybody was out there. And there you are, going home from work early. That's good. Mystery antenna. So how high do you have that mystery antenna off the ground?
It's about 35 to the apex.
Do you have it in inverted V or flat top?
Inverted V. And I went with, it said if you ran it in an inverted V, it needed to be a hair longer. I think it was 5% on each leg or whatever. So, we went that way. First time I went with the regular one, inverted V, but it just seemed like it was not right. So, Wireman gave me another one and made it a little bit different, but it's still basically the same.
Yeah, he has variations on that one. My last two that I got, I've just bought them from him instead of building them myself. And one of them is up in the sky, and the other one is a backup antenna in case that one breaks. So I can put the backup up and then work on the other one at my leisure. So he makes them pretty good. They're pretty tough. His usually lasts a good two years, maybe even longer, with all the wind and rain and sun and snow and sleet and everything else that hits them, and the trees swaying in the same direction and then swaying in opposite direction. That's what gets them, when they both bend in toward each other and then they both pop back out away from each other. That's when it puts it to the test.
Yeah, I got a little thin rope-like cord running from the apex of the house to the top of a tree, and I got it suspended off of there, and then I got the dead end of the cord tied off to like a tree branch, so when it sways, that branch can move back and forth and kind of make it like give it a little spring action.
That's basically, well, that's very similar to what I do. I just shoot a line over the top of a big tree, and it's going to catch on some springy limbs. And then I just pull it down through those springy limbs and tie it to the trunk of the tree. And, yeah, when those trees start swaying, hopefully it's strong enough to bend those springy limbs back toward where it is. Sometimes it's not, but I usually don't put it real tight either. Leave a little bit of slack in there, and it works. But the higher you can get it, the better. If you've got it as high as you can get it, but I have gone out there and rewired mine, because after a while they start falling down through the tree limbs. They pop little limbs off and they start getting lower and lower to the ground. I had the super loop, to where I had to dodge the centerpiece of it. The twin, it has 450 ohm twin lead that comes down to a ballon at the apex at the bottom. It's like an upside down triangle. And it got so low one time I had to dodge it when I was cutting grass on the riding lawnmower. And that was time to go out there and rehang it.
Well, I got it over a pretty good sized limb, and there's not any limbs touching it or anything. So, I mean, it, like I said, it's doing pretty good. I just would like to get the SWR down. I would think that maybe I could do a little bit better than I'm doing, but I really can't complain. I've been working on trying to, you know, separate out some signals when they're only 2 kilohertz apart and somebody's doing 20 over, and, you know, you're having trouble hearing, and just seeing what I can do with it and just playing mostly and learning.
Well, that'll teach you patience. I know what you're talking about. They're only 2 kC apart, and one of them's really loud, and you're trying to get the one that's not quite so loud. Sometimes you just have to wait for that other guy to quit talking. But it's a lot of fun. Glad you're enjoying it. There's something else I was going to ask. That Italy station, did you make him barefoot, 100 watts?
Yeah, Roger, that's all I have right now is 100 watts, and I've been doing pretty good. I figured it, you know, if the propagation's right, 100 watt, he can hear me pretty good, but if the propagation isn't there, then, you know, I can't really compete.
Was that your 17-meter contact or a different band?
Oh, U2 T-Mobile. I'm not sure who else is, but just coming out of the grocery store, so I heard you guys talking, so I thought I'd just jump in here. Go ahead and pick it up.
Yeah, this is Ken, KN4TFW. Yeah, I think I actually got that one on 20 meters.
Yeah, 20 meters is the one. I guess that's the hot band all the time, except, I mean, during the daytime, daylight hours. And then when 17 opens up, you can usually go further. As those that go higher start to open up, you can tend to go further on those. I know my first contact I ever made was on 15 meters out to Yuma, Arizona, 2,000 miles away. First time tuning up and first time throwing my call sign out there, and he came right back to me. I was shocked. I almost dropped the microphone. I'm like, whoa, what do I do now? Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Go ahead, Rusty, W4DJW.
Y'all talking about that and power and everything else. I remember when I worked my WAS, worked all states. It was on 80 meters with 100 watts and a wire. And I even worked Alaska and Hawaii. Of course, the Alaska, I got in about 1 o'clock in the morning on the net I was on, and the Hawaii, I worked him about 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning. So, but every bit of it with a wire and 100 watts, so it can be done. Of course, that was at least that many years ago, so, you know, it things have changed since then. But I worked I've been working a few of the long-distance things with low wattage here lately, so it makes it up. Go ahead, Ken.
what I mean? I just have that 100 watts in the wire. And that my first contact on HF was actually a DX station in Canada. And it was like, man, that was awesome. And like I said, I've picked up 10 countries so far, and I've only been on, 7 weeks now. So that ain't too bad, I don't think.
That's not bad at all. No, not at all. And back when Rusty was doing that, Rusty, the sunspot cycles, there's a peak every 11 years. And the quantity of sunspots in the peak for the last 20 cycles, right, has been getting lower and lower and lower. So when Ken catches up with you, Rusty, he will have done a lot more work than you had to do because you had a whole lot more sunspot cycles back then than he has now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. You got to work harder at it. Of course, I know someone the other day was talking about the other day. He worked in one weekend. He worked WAS and DXCC all in the same weekend on HF. The only problem was he was doing it on FT8, so that was a lot of work. I mean, that's not like when you're trying to break through a pileup on a D-Expedition. But I worked a lot of D-Expeditions with 100 watts and a wire, too, before I got an amp. And, I turn it on occasionally if I'm working in bad conditions. I'll try to give myself a little bit more power so people can hear me. But as a rule, you know, I'll run 100 watts and do it. But I got my DXCC before I got my first amp, so I was able to get work those 100 countries and get them confirmed. I'm now approaching 200, so I'm getting up there. And, of course, now that the cycle is down, like you say, Dave, it's harder to get them. So you do need that power to reach out there. And 400 watts does a good job. Go ahead, Ken. W2T Mobile. Yeah, definitely 100 watts does good. And like I was telling Dave, I figured out if I get on either 20 or 17, some of those foreign stations are down there and they're just calling CQ, and there isn't a pileup because I've worked them. And then 15 minutes later, they'd be over on 40 and there'd be 20 people trying to get in there. And I can't compete on 100 watts like that. But if the propagation's good, I worked a guy in Wisconsin and I was the loudest in the pileup. And this man, I only had 100 watts, so I thought that was really good. KN4TFW. Go ahead, Dave.
That is really good. That just goes to show you there's nothing that's going to beat propagation. I remember when I was first getting into it, before I actually got into it, my dad was talking on a handheld that had 10 meters. It is a brick. It was really big. It wasn't like the handhelds nowadays, but it was huge. But talking to Europe on 10 meters on 5 watts. And I can believe it because there was one time I was hanging out on 80 meters down the lower portion of the phone side of 80 meters, and I heard some DX stations coming in from Europe, and they sound like FM broadcast stations, and they were coming in from Europe. That's how good the propagation was, but it didn't last long. It was, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, they were gone. You couldn't hear them at all. But, yeah, there's nothing, not even a 2-kilowatt amplifier that can beat propagation opening up W4DJW.
About two is Ken is listening. Keep an eye out on these D-Expeditions that are and watch their dates to see, when their ending dates are. And usually, if you even with 100 watts, you can work some of these D-Expeditions even on 40 meters sometimes and on 20 and all. But if you wait till they get down the last day or so of the D-Expedition, and you'd be surprised how many you can work. In fact, I worked a lot of them that way years ago, even because I couldn't fight through the pileups. But you get down the last couple of days, and they're sitting there calling CQ, and there's nobody going back to them, so you can usually roll in there. And in fact, one D-Expedition, I worked them on 15, 20, and 40, all in the same afternoon. And I was only running 100 watts back then, and they were in the last day or two of their D-Expedition, and everybody else had already worked them, so I didn't have to fight anybody. Go ahead, Ken. Yeah, well, that's good to know. And I know there's some of them coming up. you know, and I can pay attention and, you know what I mean, and be able to work them and that. And I did listen to, you know, a couple of foreign ones that they were really courteous operators. They would hear somebody that, you know, they heard him three or four times and they weren't the loudest and everything, and they broke everybody off to go ahead and work that station that, you know, was maybe a 4-4, so he could work him and be courteous. And I thought that was really, really nice. Back to you, Dave.
You will come across those those kinds of operators, and that is really cool when you come across one like that. Have you, or are you planning to experiment any with the lower side of the HF bands, like with CW or anything like that?
Yeah, but I was going to take the CW class, but they postponed it until September. And that, so I'm going to sign up for that in September with Gary and them. And then the wife and daughter bought me some Gordon West CDs and some books on CW and stuff like that that I run here in the truck and listen to. So I'm kind of working on it a little bit as I go, but that extra class is pretty much a big load for me right now. Back to you.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy that. When you, it does take a little bit of commitment to get to that point to where it's enjoyable, right? It's just torture before you get to enjoyable. But once you pass that threshold and you can actually send and receive, then you're like a human that is interfacing with the machine. and it works so good. It's a really, really good feeling to be working the keys when you're doing that. Go ahead, Rusty, W4DJW.
Well, I'm still trying to improve my capabilities. I use software and a computer to send and listen for CW2 right now. But I'm getting better and better at listening to it and reading what's coming out of it. So it's reaching the point where I'm not struggling as much to copy. And, of course, I don't dare try to send. My sending isn't worth a flip. If I try to send, you won't understand a third of what I say, or if that, or even a half of it, because my key is just, I've practiced and practiced and practiced, and it's still lousy. And so, you know, anybody that tries to work me, you don't want me sending with a key. So anyway, but well, I'm gonna make this my last one because I'm about 2 minutes from the driveway, and I got to pull in and get all these groceries inside that I've been accumulating at the different stops I've made this afternoon. Good to talk to both of you. Y'all have a good one. We'll catch you later. 73's W2T. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, 73, Rusty. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that day when I'm working CW. And that right now I'm kind of enjoying just making a long-distance contact and be able to just, you know, rag chew 15 or 20 minutes and just meeting some new people and finding out about them. And that's been, you know, it's been really enjoyable. Over to you, Dave, KN4TFW.
Catch you later, Rusty. Good talking to you. And hello, Tom. And Ken, one of the things about the CW I was going to tell you, one thing you can do, humans can decode CW better than a computer. That's true. That's one thing that humans can do better. They can compensate for fluctuations in somebody's rhythm, whereas a computer will struggle a lot with that, right? So one of the things, once you start getting going good and you start sending, receiving is harder than sending because you don't know what's coming. When you're sending, you know half of the equation. You know what you want to send, right? And then you just have to formulate the sending. So the sending is easy compared to the receiving. But one way that I measured myself was by sending to a computer and seeing how much of that the computer could decode. If a computer can decode it, any human that knows CW out there can decode it, all right? And as long as the speed is acceptable for that rate of that human. But that's one way you can check yourself. And I used to do that. And some days I could get up to 24 words a minute. Couldn't hold it there for long, but I could get it up there. And then other days, if I went past 18 words per minute, I was like Rusty was saying, it was garbage. Nobody could decode it. So it's like, it depends on how much practice you put in, how regular you do it. But a good way to check yourself when you get ready to go out there is to set up one of those CW decoders on your computer, send to your computer, make sure it can decode you, because if it can do it, most any human being that knows CW can do it. Go ahead, Tom, W4DJW.
This is Gerald T.R. Excuse me. Yeah, good afternoon, Dave and Ken. Well, everything you said is 100% right, Dave. I sat down at that contest this weekend, and I don't do contesting as a general rule, but there hasn't been much activity, and I saw there was. So what did I work for? At least 31 countries, I think. Yeah. So I just picked out a different country each time, and I probably operated a total of 2 hours all weekend and got 31 different countries, and I could have got a great deal more than that. But CW is by far the best mode of communication in the ham world, in my opinion. And I send it usually 28 words a minute, and if I'm driven to it, to try to get in 30 words a minute. But I don't know how much I could decode nowadays. Of course, I had to pass 20 words per minute, and I think Dave did too. And I talked to Dave one night, and I think he was on a key, but I don't know. You got to watch him. Go ahead, Ken. This is M0TR, and my name's Tom.
Yeah, Tom and Dave, well, I appreciate the advice on it, and that, and you know what I mean, I'll remember it, and that, I'm looking forward to the day when I can be able to do it, and that is one of my goals, and right now the goal for at least up until the summer is to get this extra license, and that, and once that's done, then I can, you know, I can play and learn and just learn something new every day and see where, you know, where I want to go with it, and that, I don't think I really want to be a big contester, but, you know, definitely to make a bunch of contacts in other countries would be awesome, for sure. Back to you, Dave.
Well, Ken, I feel about the same way. I told myself when I came in that I flew radio control airplanes since I was 6 years old. Well, they weren't radio control back then, but they were free flight control line and then radio control. I've been doing it all my life, and that's my number one hobby. But at a point in that time, one of my buddies that I went to high school with and I got together and created an airplane kit factory. And we turned a hobby into a job. And boy, that I said I'd never do that again because it was pure competition. You'd go to one competitive event after another, after another, after another, and we burned ourselves out on that. So I said, when I get into amateur radio, I am not doing that again. And so I haven't touched the competition part of it yet at all. And that's one of the great things about ham radio. There's so many things you can get into in so many different areas, like bouncing signals off the moon, talking to satellites, bouncing signals off of satellites and talking to other people in other country on VHF and UHF. One of the guys that lived right up here near Lake Robinson, his call was K4KK. His name was Ed. He he got really close. I think it was within three countries of worked all countries with 70 centimeters. Yeah, can you imagine that? 70 centimeters is hard, much less worked all countries. But he bounced signals off the moon and did all kinds of fun stuff. So I think you've got plenty, like a kid in a candy factory, right? There's just, you don't know what to grab next. Back to you, Tom, W4DJW.
W4DJW and 0TR. Yeah, I think Ed had 97 countries that way, which is totally amazing. I had a buddy back up in Kansas that got what they call that, the DXCC for 6 meters anyways. There's another designation there. Frank only had like 3 watts, and when the sunspots are up, and I don't know how much that affects 6 meters. Dave would have to tell you that, but... he done it anyways, and he built his own antennas, and he was very poor, so that was part of it. But he'd make great big beams. Well, I just have wire antennas. But another thing you might do is look in your QST, Ken, and they run these special event stations. And you can talk to submarines, you can talk to carriers, you can talk to... the peach event, the cranberry event, any number of things that you can think of, Confederate events, they list them all in there every month. And they're usually relatively easy to work, and they work sideband as well as CW. But that's a fun thing to do also. Go ahead, Ken.
For the encouragement and for all the help and information, but I have reached my destination, so I'm going to have to get on out of here for a little while. Take me about 10 minutes, and I'll be back. But I'll say 73 to you guys, and hope you guys have an awesome day, and look forward to catching you back on 2 meters, and definitely look forward to trying to work you on HF, KN4TFW.
Well, it's good to catch you during a weekday, because usually you're really early in the morning. You got to get up early to catch you. Anyway, good talking to you, Ken. And Tom, I've only got a few minutes before my next meeting started. This is my coffee break after lunch time. It's 12:51 where I am right now. I'm at my house, by the way.
Ain't it terrible to have to work for a living, Dave? You keep on paying my Social Security, though. Kudos to you. Well, we're passing the tiny house community and just went across the lake, which is unimaginably high, and not looking forward to seeing snow tomorrow, but down here it don't last, so nothing like Kansas was. Well, Dave, take care. I'll let you go and get back to work and paying that paycheck for me, and I appreciate it. And say hi to Amy and have a good day, my friend. W4DJW in 0TR, 73, Dave.
All right, Tom. Good talking to you, and enjoy the rest of the day. Yeah, and go out and buy yourself another antenna, and tell Bernice it's on me. I paid for it. that way it won't. That way she won't reciprocate and want something else herself. But buy her, take the extra money that you would have gotten and buy her something. Anyway, good talking to you, Tom. You guys enjoy the rest of the day. I'm going to go back to work. Nose back to the grindstone. W4DJW.
Yeah, I've been thinking about maybe putting you spoiled me on those super loops. I still use that. And I've been thinking about putting one up in the other direction, Dave, when it gets warmer. I just like to get my beverage antenna running. And I can't figure out what it is unless it's that flooded RG8 or whatever it is coming up there. The 75-ohm stuff, because I've checked everything else. But I will get it, and the super loop in the other direction, I just like to see what it does. Take care. W4DJW and 0TR.
Catch you later, Tom. W4DJW clear.